May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Remember those crash helmets we talked about last week? We might need them again this week. We have two very difficult texts from which a preacher might preach. I'm going to land on one of them, the gospel. When Jesus says, "I come to bring not peace, but a sword," I think it's only prudent to get a little bit nervous. Whatever comes after a statement like that isn't likely to bring comfort. So what we get is, "For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be the members of one's own household." When I hear a statement like that from Jesus, I really, really, really want to tone it down, make it safe, make it mean something less threatening to my bubble of comfort. I mean, Jesus doesn't really mean that I'm not worthy of his love if I love my husband and my two sons, does he? I come to bring not peace, but a sword. What do we do with such statements? The sword is a metaphor for the truth, for the sometimes difficult word of God. In the book of Hebrews, we're told, "Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow." The purpose of a sword is to divide things, to cut them apart, limb from limb, maybe heads from bodies. This past week, I was in Canooga with Episcopal youth from around the country, and I got to preach and celebrate Holy Eucharist at the Lakeside Chapel with about 40 of these teenagers early on Thursday morning, 7:30 in the morning. There were 40 of them there to hear. So I beta tested parts of this sermon with them because the gospel lesson for the feast day was the same gospel that we just heard. Thursday was the feast day of St. Alban, the first Christian martyr in the British Isles. Alban was a Roman soldier, a pagan, who was stationed in the British Isles during the time of an early persecution of the Christians by a Roman emperor. There were already Christians in the British Isles, and Alban encountered a priest who was on the run from these Roman authorities who were after him, and Alban gave the priest shelter. Over the course of the few days that they spent together, Alban was converted by the witness of the priest. Alban put on the priest's clothing to provide a decoy and was taken prisoner in a case of mistaken identity. Alban also refused to renounce his new faith. His witness to his jailer converted him, and Alban and his jailer were both executed. Their combined witness converted the executioner. And so the ripples went out from there. The point for us today is that in Jesus, St. Alban encountered a truth for himself that set him at odds with his family and his culture. And when he made the decision to live that truth with integrity, to hold fast to his newfound faith. The sword of division cut between him and his family and culture, and it ultimately cost him his life. Jesus isn't threatening to bring a sword. He's describing what happens when people speak their truth to family, friends, the world, who are not willing to hear it. An example of how that plays out in the world today might be a teenager who comes to the decision to speak and live the truth of his identity and tells his family and the world, "I am gay." You better believe that there will be family and friends who will fall away at that point without stopping to realize that that precious child is merely living into the person that God created him to be. Or it might be the African American woman who chooses to tell her truth, the truth of the existence of living in fear for the safety of her husband and sons and brothers every time they leave the house. A truth that sends her out marching in the streets to claim publicly that Black lives matter. Watch her friends and coworkers jump right back with, "All lives matter," without stopping to ask themselves, what experience lies underneath that claim? Or it might be the coal miner, whose way of life is threatened by a changing economy, who sees the American dream slipping farther and farther from his grasp, and who stands up to claim his truth that he's ready to make America great again. Watch his Facebook friends list become redder and redder as his blue friends drop him without a second thought. We see a sword of division busy at work in this country. And this is not the sword of God's word. It is not the sword of the cross. It is the sword of violence and greed and intolerance and self-interest at any cost. The sword of division has been busy. It's been busy this year. We see its handiwork all around us. Thanks be to God, by the grace of God, we have not seen that so much here at Holy Trinity. And I'd like to think that that's because we focus on our truth. We worship the God of love. We follow the Prince of Peace. We're led by a spirit of unity to proclaim that the sphere of God's grace has room in it to welcome all people, whatever their truth, their reality. And we commit ourselves to healing the underlying wounds that create those divisions between us. That healing takes two forms. First, we do welcome into the sphere of God's grace all of our brothers and sisters, no matter how much we disagree with the outward expression of their inner reality. The Word of God, which is a balm as well as a two-edged sword, tells us to love one another, to take care of one another, to forgive one another 70 times 7 times if we must. We welcome those with whom we disagree. We listen, and to the best of our ability, we love them. The second part of the healing takes the form of working against the enemies of our common humanity, the forces that create those wounds in the first place. Forces like homophobia and transphobia that expose young people especially to bullying and harassment, endangering their lives. We speak out against that. Exploitative economic practices that focus on short-term gain without thought for the human lives that get sucked into the money-making machine, leaving them trapped and hopeless. We speak out against that, too. The covert racism that still exists in our country, that makes it so difficult for many of our brothers and sisters to live the freedom that we enjoy. We speak out against that, too. The pain and the despair that lie beneath these varying realities that we're so quick to label liberal or conservative or extremist. Those are the adversaries that we should reject and work to overcome. The people who live in those realities, they are not our enemies. They're our neighbors. And we're called to love them, to welcome them, to care for them. All of them. It's been said that truth is something we can confess but never possess. We're called as followers of Jesus to confess His truth in a way that doesn't shut down other voices, in a way that doesn't refuse to listen to other opinions, in a way that doesn't cut off the people who believe differently. We're called to sit alongside our neighbors, to hear their stories with open hearts, open minds, open arms. That's what it means, is it not, to love with the heart of Christ and think with the mind of Christ, and to act in the world as the body of Christ. When we proclaim that Jesus is Lord of love, Prince of peace, healer of pain and despair, the sword of truth will cut away our complacency with hatred, war, and the thousand ways that human beings find to marginalize people who look or act or think differently. When we live that integrity, when we pick up the cross and commit ourselves to the work of Christ on earth, we find that we are doing the work of Christ, which is to subvert the powers of division, not to accommodate them for the sake of false peace, but to create the true peace of God, which truly does pass all understanding. The kingdom of heaven is near, and the Word of God stands ready to cut through the barriers that separate us from the life of that kingdom. And all you have to do to have that life is to give over the life that you already have to a life of proclaiming the fullness of a loving, liberating, life-giving relationship with God. And as Jesus says, don't whisper it in a corner. Shout it from the housetops. God is love, we are God's, and we're here to do God's work. Alleluia.